Take part in a transformation of pharmacy practice. Pharmacy Futures is ASHP's dynamic new summer event where you will unite with clinicians, practice leaders, preceptors, and technicians to explore the impactful integration of artificial intelligence in pharmacy practice and healthcare. Over 57 hours of contemporary education will be offered, including a special workshop for sterile compounding designated person competency training. Special rates are available when you register and book your hotel before April 26th. Learn more at futures.ashp.org. That's futures.ashp.org.
Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for the Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. Our discussion, this podcast series, focuses on leadership topics within pharmacy practice, including the business of pharmacy, development of leadership skills, career transitions, and more. This podcast has been prepared by members of ASHP's Pharmacy Administration and Leadership Resident Collaborative, also known as PALRC. PALRC is an advisory committee and professional community for the health system, pharmacy administration, and leadership residents within ASHP. PALRC helps support ASHP initiatives, outline the roadmap of volunteer opportunities, provide peer-to-peer engagement opportunities, and facilitates networking opportunities with pharmacy leaders. My name is Samantha Gruber, and I'm a current PGY1 Health System Pharmacy Administration and Leadership Resident at Cone Health in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I'll be one of your co-hosts today for the Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, who I will let introduce himself.
Thanks, Samantha. My name is Gregory Norston, and I am a PGY2 Health System Pharmacy Administration and Leadership Resident at UNC Health. With us today are David Dacqua, an Assistant Chief of Acute Care Operations at UC Davis Health, and Sam Anderegg, the CEO at DocStation. Thanks for joining us today, Sam and David. Now let's start talking about today's topics, traditional and non-traditional pharmacy career paths. And our first question for the podcast today is, what unique skill sets are you able to integrate into your role as a pharmacist that you found to be integral in your career path? To be consistent, we'll choose the speaker to go first and second. And for this first question, we'll have David go first.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Greg. You know, just reflecting a little bit on this question, really, I think unique skill sets are important to translate well into being a pharmacist. And at least what I chose, what I thought was important for me to become a pharmacist was really relationship building. I actually think that's really important. I don't think you really understand how important it is until, let's say, you're on rounds or you are collaborating with a nurse or physician or other healthcare profession. I also think of some other unique skill sets, such as like emotional intelligence, as well as just general teamwork and being coachable. These things may have been some characteristics you may have picked up on the sports field, depending on what sports you played as a kid, in high school, college, etc. But in my opinion, I believe those skill sets were important for me as I was choosing my career path in pharmacy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, David. I think that relationship building piece is so important. Being able to manage others in the situations that you get into eventually, having those difficult conversations when you're trying to give feedback and motivate someone to be the best that they can be, or help them understand that maybe they're doing something a little bit wrong and let's get you back on the right path. It also gets into recruiting as well. If you can kind of articulate what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish to get really good people to join you in on your team, I think is really important. Other kind of building blocks for me as part of a, you know, health system administration and leadership residency was finance. I mean, big time. I mean, you're going into a situation where you need to justify a new clinical service or program or resources that you want to bring on. You know, for me, it's, you know, building a budget or pro forma to start a business. And so not having had those hours in spreadsheets, I mean, all that just really paid off. The other kind of, I think, unassuming thing that we learn is, you know, when you get into the other side, the dark side of the industry, you know, there's this term called sales, right? And it feels kind of gross and weird and, you know, like you don't like salespeople, right? But the fact of the matter is that all of our experience trained us to be quote unquote salespeople. We have to sell a recommendation to a physician to implement on rounds. And that takes knowing people being self-aware, emotionally intelligent, reading facial expressions. And so I feel like that, you know, I didn't know it to begin with, but, you know, we've been selling for a long time as pharmacists. I think the last thing I just add is just resilience, right? I mean, you go through 2 years and, you know, you work your butt off and, you know, you develop a certain level of grit and resiliency. And I think that's huge no matter where you go.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's really interesting how both of you, while one chose maybe a traditional career path and the other one had a more non-traditional career path, you both hit on a lot of the same things and a lot of those unique skills that you learn throughout your HSPAL residency. So I think that's really important. Our next question would be, as far as healthcare, it really continues to be a dynamic area. And so how do you continue to be competent with these changes as far as your leadership style?
You know, one of my residency mentors, a guy by the name of Harold Godwin, he always said, hey, I'm an association junkie. And I feel like I've been one too. Definitely ASHP has been my professional home. But as I've expanded into more of the technology and informatics space and doing some consulting for the Pharmacy HIT Collaborative, I just got exposed to all the different associations in pharmacy. You know, there's over 10 and there's new ones being added every day. And so just by participating and being a member, you get to see, like, you know, what the pulse is on the front lines for members and what the most important topics and policies are going through. And so I think that's a really great way to just stay in tune with what's going on in pharmacy. And outside of that, there's this whole world of digital health or healthcare technology where it's not the traditional, you know, pharmacy associations. It's folks that are starting private companies. They might be clinicians themselves. They might be physicians, dietitians, nurses. And there might be people just coming straight from technology. And so if you can be part of those newsletters or some of them have Slack workspaces, just see what the discussion is going on. I feel like that's just a good way to get in touch with what's going on at kind of a higher level, like under the almost like a macroeconomic level and where things are shifting. The last thing is just like news. I try to consume both healthcare and non-healthcare and technology news. And I don't know if you guys have heard of this app, it's called Feedly, but you can kind of just streamline a whole bunch of different sources that come and provides a feed for you to kind of go through during the day. But that's been helpful for me. What about you, David?
Great points there, Sam. For me, having more of a traditional role, I guess, after my HSPAL residency, I would say that I'm more or less focused, a lot of mine's more focused on compliance, regulatory issues. In my current role, you know, I'm overseeing a lot of the sterile and non-sterile compounding. And for me, that's really where I focus a lot of my healthcare news, right? We all know about USP. We all know about the New England Compounding Pharmacy and all of the things that happened back, you know, over a decade ago. But for me, what I try to do, because things are so dynamic, is keeping up with USP. You know, having the revisions been pushed back and trying to understand what are the new standards that are going to be, you know, is our pharmacy up to date from a construction standpoint? Are we able to exceed those minimum expectations and standards to be able to continue to provide excellent patient care? And also moving different states, right? Having been in pharmacy practice in Florida, then moving to Michigan, and then now California, being being abreast of, you know, the Board of Nursing laws and any other different boards that are in those areas and how that actually affects pharmacy. So that's really where I kind of drive my focus in terms of how things are dynamic. You know, I also think about on-mission technology, as Sam talked about a little bit earlier. Hey, you know, does your pharmacy have carousels? How can you streamline your efficiencies within the pharmacy department? Do you have cameras, gravimetrics, all those things that I know other healthcare institutions are thinking about and maybe potentially implementing or have already implemented? Well, those are the types of things that I kind of try to keep up to date with, especially USP, looking into the AHSP podcasts, AHSP articles. Those are things that I try to do to make sure that I am up to press on the knowledge out there.
That's great to hear, Sam and David. And I think it's great to keep exposure to everything that's happening, especially in David's case of being and practicing pharmacy in 3 different states and having to realize those nursing laws. It's definitely an interesting and unique experience. My next question for the group is, what are you doing to ensure you continue to grow and develop as a leader? And David, we'll have you start.
Well, as we all know, you know, we're always learning, right? Pharmacy, you're always learning and you're always trying to make yourself be better. For me, I think to make myself a better leader, obviously having gone through a residency program and as Sam described, getting that grit, having been through 2 years of your life to really learn who you are as a person, but also how you want to manage and lead people, I think is very was very impactful for me. Now, despite having completed that experience, I think for me, how I try to continue to keep abreast of, again, leadership and trying to become a better leader is to continue taking classes. I think that you can never stop learning. So specifically at my institution, we do a manager like series course here where we go through different employee engagement. We go through crucial conversations. Now, even though I may have experience in that, there's always something extra you can learn and always something different you can see. So in my opinion, I think that having gone through those leadership courses and also making sure that I continue to stay in touch with all of my mentors, I think mentorship is very, very key when it comes to making sure that you can become a better leader. Having meeting with other people within my institution, whether they're nurses, physicians, right? Having all of these different interprofessional collaboration has also been very helpful in my leadership growth as well. And having all of the experiences that they've had to go through here at UC Davis Health. So those are some of the things that I try to keep up to date with being a better leader.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love how the same topics keep coming up in this conversation because they are so vitally important to developing yourself as a leader, like when you're going through residency, but also long-term. Like I revisit so many topics and even books that I've read in the past because there might be a certain situation that's coming up at work that I really need to dig back into this subject and learn. And so I think revisiting books and then and continuing to read other books on leadership, I think, you know, emotional intelligence, like all that work that Goleman did and wrote about is invaluable. And I think like emotional intelligence for sure is, it's like the core of leadership, but it also takes practice. It's like yoga or meditation, right? You need to constantly be trying to be more self-aware and listen better and regulate your own emotions. And, you know, it's great subject matter. Anything by Jim Collins in terms of leadership is just great. Like the principles and the research that he does to compare, you know, successful companies and not successful companies and successful leaders and not successful leaders. I mean, I'll just eat that stuff up. Great by Choice is his most recent one. And I just absolutely love that book. Some other things. So there's this book called Multipliers. And I read this when I was in a position where I needed to start managing managers. And that was new for me. I feel like, you know, I came out of residency, I got an entry-level pharmacy management job, and I was managing frontline providers, but wasn't really managing other leaders. And so when I got into the position to do that, Multipliers was like just a really great, you know, book to say, all right, how do you motivate and empower people that are leading other people? And then going back to crucial conversations, which I think has come up like 3 or 4 times already, which is great. I'm sure it's the same for you, David, but just like keeping mentors, right? Folks that, you know, have mentored you through into residency and past that, your residency program director, but finding mentors that are from elsewhere as well. You know, for me, folks that know the technology industry that have raised money before, that have started companies before, hard to find those within pharmacy themselves. So you kind of have to look elsewhere and just, again, apply that same formula, right? If there's someone out there that, you know, is doing something that you want to do or someone that you feel like you want to emulate, you know, just reach out to those people and try to keep up and have regular conversations with them. The last thing that I'd add is surrounding yourself with a good team that also has these skills. Since we started the company, we've actually recruited 2 HSPAL grads in addition to me. So we got 3 on the team now. And so having folks that have gone through the same training and understand the same principles of leadership, I think it's so important because sometimes, you know, you feel like you're alone a lot if you don't have other folks to go to and lean on your team. So those are things that I would say are important to me.
Yeah, I think that's great. Those are both really helpful and insightful responses, especially because residency is kind of our first step of training. And beyond that, there's not as much of a prescriptive guide on how we continue to grow as a leader. So I think that's really great from both of you. And my next question would be, given the ever-changing atmosphere of healthcare, where do you see HSPL graduates best equipped to utilize their training?
You know, reflecting on that question, really, I think HSPAL residents really need to just be able to go into any management area that they really see themselves being successful in. Literally any management area that fills a gap, I think, is important. And honestly, it depends on your interests as well. You don't have to, you know, have to go into a certain area, right? Oh, you have to become a pharmacy manager in a hospital, right? You can go the non-traditional, right, as Sam has. So really, it's really what your career goals are, what you see yourself doing in the future, and really, and you know, grabbing the bull by the horns and just, you know, moving forward with your life. But really, again, any management role, because I think in my experience, having been in pharmacy school and then having been in residency, you don't really see that the managers that I've been a part of, that I've been around, and directors don't directly have health system leadership and administration training, right? So we are easily positioned to be able to hit these roles right out of the gate and really, you know, again, make a name for ourselves and really show the value of our residency training and what we can do for future of pharmacy.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. I feel like I went down the track of these residencies because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to lead people. I knew I wanted to implement, programs and, you know, allow me to be a little bit creative. That was the baseline. But now looking back, I mean, you're going through programs that make you the most versatile person in the industry. Really. I mean, you have to learn how to be a clinician. You have to learn how to manage and lead others and learn all the skills about business, right? And so you can, you know, really go anywhere. You can stay within the traditional health system track. You can go off and do something non-traditional. You can even go back to being something on the front lines, like a researcher of some sort or an actual clinician. And when you do that, you still have all those skills that you learned throughout residency. You're going to be able to apply them in a variety of different ways. And so, you know, my message to any folks that I talk to that are going through programs like this is like, sky's the limit, world's your oyster. You really just need to figure out what it is that you want to do and the things that you want to impact in your career. I think that's vitally important.
And Sam, would you say that I have to know what I want before I graduate though? Because I really do feel like there's this sense that I have to know what I want to do, and you know, jobs are coming left and right and I'm going to lose my opportunity. Do you really think that, you know, you have to go right away, or you can kind of, you know, traverse the landscape kind of?
Oh, that's such a good question. I feel like, I think I've talked about this before elsewhere, but like as pharmacists, we're trained to have a plan, right? We got to have a 10-year or 20-year plan. And we sometimes get really tied to that, you know, that vision of where we're trying to go. But I feel like taking a step back and just taking a breath and being like, hey, my interests change over time. Like my skill set, where I want to apply myself, might change over time. And I think it's really hard to do, but just being aware that just because other people might have a plan and know exactly what they want to do doesn't mean that you have to. And you're going to have so many opportunities throughout your career to shift and change and figure those things out. So don't necessarily put so much pressure on yourself up front. It's good to have a job. You want to have a job coming out of residency. I mean, you need to pay the bills, and I'm sure everybody has student debt still. I sure did and still do. But for the most part, like take time with yourself. Give yourself permission to explore a little bit, even post-residency.
Thanks for the answer, Sam and David. And coming as a second-year admin resident, it's always great to hear about the versatility and how it's okay not to have an exact plan or formula of what the next 10 to 20 years are going to be. As pharmacists, we're really focused in on what's the next thing. So it's nice to know that it's not always the right thing. And with that, we'll go on to our last question for this podcast. And it is, how would you advise that HSPAL residents lean into applying for roles they may not feel qualified as for?
All right. I mean, I really want to turn that question back on to you. I know that's not the point of this, but in my opinion, how do you know you're not qualified if you don't apply for that position, right? At the end of the day, you have to trust in your training, right? You've been through a whole year of clinical training. You know how it is on the front line. You know how to manage the clinicians because you've been there, right? You know, as you move into your PGY2 year, you become more project management focused, dealing with HR issues, service line management, intern management, whatever that residency program has for you. But really, you should be able to apply for any job that you see yourself doing, right? You put your heart to. At the end of the day, you don't know if you cannot get a job until you actually try, right? And I think about it as an analogy with basketball, right? Shooters are going to shoot, right? Shoot your shot. You don't know if you can get that job. The thing is, you know that you have that training and you should be able to just really apply for it. And again, show them that you can do the job and show them all of the things you've done in your past 2 years and why it would translate well into that position you're looking for.
Yeah, I would double stamp that answer that David mentioned. I mean, like, you know, coming out of residency too, if you're looking at, you know, health systems and there's like an assistant director job or an associate chief job or something like that, you're like, wow, I haven't gone through the ladder and the appropriate steps to be in this position. But the fact of the matter is like David said, you've got the training, trust in that training and put yourself in a position to maybe even just be eligible for it. I feel like whether you're coming out of residency or you're in a job and you're curious about other things, the best thing that you could do is apply and maybe interview at someone somewhere else, because you get to meet people, you get to learn about how that place operates, or, you know, and then, you know, learn more about to see if whether it aligns with what you want to do further when you're interviewing them at the same time. And the worst that can happen is you don't get the gig. No big deal, right? Now you know some more people, you experience that side of the industry a little bit, and you're setting yourself up for the next thing, or you learn a little bit more about yourself to direct you in the direction that you do want to go. Do you think I felt qualified to start a technology company as a pharmacist? I certainly did not. And I feel like that was part of my hesitation at the very beginning, right? Like I went through, when I decided that I kind of wanted to do something on my own, entrepreneurship, whatever you want to call that, my first kind of iteration or cycle of an idea was starting a pharmacy back in my hometown, right? So I knew how to build a pro forma to, you know, have a pharmacy dispensing system and how many pharmacists and FTDs did I need? I mean, that's stuff that we do all the time as leaders, but I didn't allow myself to consider the possibility that, you know, I could start a startup. And once I gave myself permission to even explore the idea, that's when I started learning a little bit more and seeing that, you know, these folks that do start these companies are no different than you or I. Actually, we might be in a better position to start companies because we have leadership training. So many people that do this do not. And so now you just got to go out and figure out all the other stuff that you don't know about. And so, you know, summarize, I mean, lean in, you know, especially if you know that you have a curiosity or a passion for a certain subject or a certain area that you know nothing about, like, just go for it. Like, you got nothing to lose.
All right. I think that is all really great advice as far as how we can apply, you know, our skills and lean into the jobs that we may not feel as qualified for moving forward. That's all the time we have for today, but I really want to thank Sam Enderegg and David Dakwa for joining us today to discuss traditional and non-traditional pharmacy career paths.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.